have your Bible tonight. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 66. This is Bible study night. We're still on the subject of the hand of the Lord. Hand of the Lord. I'm sure you've heard people say, don't seek the hand of God, but seek the face of God. Anybody ever heard that said? Well, you know, that's true in a person's world that don't have a revelation of the hand of God. Because the hand of God is available, ready available, to work in our lives on every day of our life. The hand of the Lord is there to work. It's not something you seek. It's something that's there. And if you don't know about it, of course you can't operate in it. Because faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And like I said, this is a new study. We're breaking through some things, and we're going to take it easy and probably be on this a while on Wednesday night. Till we really get in the depth of understanding what the hand of God is all about. Yes. Isaiah chapter 66, let's start with verse 12. And we're going to repeat things over and over because that's how you get it in your spirit. Just hearing it once may make you excited, may make you have a little chill or a thrill. But it's only after you hear it over and over. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
Not, it doesn't come because you've heard.
Right.
It comes because you're hearing. So hearing is a continuation. So we'll go over some things over and over. And each time we'll add a little bit more meat until we really get a hand on the hand of God.
Amen.
And let me just tell you this. A couple of things. I know we're in the spirit.
Yes.
I know we're doing something in the spirit. You know, I preached on seeing God in the storm.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Sunday.
Awesome.
You know, and I opened up a package from Rhema today. Rhema was sending out some books to put in the bookstore, and the name of the book that was sent to me was, I want to make sure what it is. Where's Dina at? She stole my book. God in the Storm was the name of the book. Name of the book was God in the Storm. I preach it and get a book entitled God in the Storm. Of course, she stole it, so I get revelation from somewhere else. And today, when I'm studying on the hand of the Lord, now you may, I think this is crazy, but I get through studying on the hand of the Lord, and I'm on my computer, and I go to the internet, and right there on the screen is a picture, and it talks about what you see in your hand.
Yeah.
What's on your hand reveals things about you. Your health, like spots and all that stuff. Right on there's a big hand that said, talks about your hand. I'm studying about the hand, and then I see a hand.
Yeah.
I preach about a storm, and then a book comes about a storm. Now, I don't know about you. That's freaky to me. I mean, that's spiritual freaky, right? It's God just you know, telling me that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established.
Yes.
Right.
So God is doing something in the spirit, folks. We just need to go with the flow.
Yes.
And as we go with the flow, God reveals more and more and more and more.
Yes.
Telling you, we're right at the door.
Yes.
I mean, we've already passed it. Really tell you the truth, we passed in the door. Now it's our obedience that will bring us to the place that God has for us. So God is good. Say God is good with me. God is good. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Now, God is talking about Jerusalem or the people of God. I will extend peace to the people of God and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Look down at verse 14. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like a herb. And the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and indignation towards his enemies. Once again, when you see In the Scripture, it talks about the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord does two things. It brings judgment upon the enemies of God and brings blessing and favor to the servants of the Lord. That's exactly what happened in the book of Exodus when Moses brought the children of Israel out of bondage of Egypt. Exodus chapter 3 verse 20 says, "And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go." Talking about Pharaoh will let you go. "And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go out empty." So we see the hand of the Lord when Israel left Egypt. Judgment came on Egypt, and the blessings and favor of the Lord came upon His people. Now most people know about Moses' rod. We've seen pictures about the Ten Commandments and how Moses put out his rod. And very few people know anything about the hand of the Lord. The rod was important, but more important was the hand of the Lord. Amen. And when you see the hand of the Lord, you see judgment and blessing. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our life. He wants to extend His hand. He wants us to know about His hand. So we'll have judgment against our enemies and blessings in our life. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4. The early church understood the hand of the Lord. How many of you have ever heard any teaching on the hand of the Lord other than what you heard Wednesday night? There's one. So we're all going at this thing kind of a new subject for you. Amen? The hand of the Lord. Acts chapter 4. Let's start with verse 21. When the adversary came against the early church, this is what the early church did, verse 21. "And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done." Now this is talking about Paul and some of the disciples, and all the disciples that had went and healed the man on the Sabbath day, I think, and then they all come in uproar. And everybody's mad. And now they didn't know what to do with them. They took them in and beat them. And verse 23, "And being let go, they went to their own country and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word." Verse 30. "By stretching forth Thy hand to heal." And this is the New Testament. Book of Acts. "And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Yeah. Say, the place was shaken.
Place was
shaken. We get excited when people shake. The whole place shook. "Where they was assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Now this is one of the first prayers of the early church. The Message Bible says, "And now they're at it again. Take care of their threats, and give your servants fearless confidence in preaching your message. As you stretch out your hand to us in healings and miracles and wonders done in the name of the Holy Servant Jesus." So when it comes to your enemies, how many of you got any enemies?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
How about, do you say sickness is the enemy?
Yes, sir.
How about poverty?
Yes.
How about a deer running across in front of you? Pretty good enemy. Mess up your car, cost you a lot of money, right?
Yeah.
Plus time and effort. I know some people have had running the deers a couple of times. I thank the Lord in all my sick. Well, driving, what'd you say, 40-something years? I never had hit a deer. Anybody ever had a deer hit them? Wow, a bunch of folk here. That's a thing. So a deer is the enemy running across the road. other things, the enemies in your life. And we need the hand of the Lord to deal in our affairs of life, to bring judgment on our enemies and favor on our lives. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Now here's the thing about when you talk about the hand of the Lord. Most people are sad. Israel was brought out of Egypt. The Bible says they were brought out with the hand of the Lord. Now most people would be satisfied just to be let go of bondage, to be free. Most people would just be, hallelujah, I'm free. But that's not God's best. I want you to turn to, look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Again, verse 21. God's best is not for us just to be free from our enemy. How many of you want God's best? I mean, we settle for such less than God's best. Sometimes God's best is just blow your mind. See, religion has told us we can just have just enough. If you got too much, you're worldly. If you look like you got a little money, you must not be serving the Lord. I mean, that's what your mind does. That's what I grew up in. Preachers were poor, broke, busted, and disgusted. And as long as they kept them humble, I guess they thought they'd stay at church a long time. But God's best is for us to prosper, to have more than enough. Not just settle to be delivered, but you're going to find out here as we study the hand of God, we already talked about it, that He wants to replace in your life which has been stolen from you.
Amen.
How many of you feel like things have been stolen from you in life? Now, somebody told me the other day that a lot of things they gave to the devil. I understand that.
Yes.
We probably could see the same hands. Right. Anybody ever did something they knew, you know, they messed up, and
right,
when it got stolen, you said, well, I wasn't supposed to have it anyway. But there are times in your life, like I said last week, you know, some people grow up in places that, you know, that are tough and hard, and you don't get the love you ought to have. You don't get the teaching you ought to have. And, you know, just because you have a baby, that doesn't mean you're a mother or a father. And sometimes your life is not been a good life, a settled life. And you've been stolen from that. But you know, God can bring a spiritual mom and dad to you and later on in life that make up for everything you lost.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing about God. He makes up for things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen? What my daddy couldn't be to me, God has been more to me,
yes,
than my daddy could ever been to me.
Yeah.
And so God's best is not for us to just be delivered. But God's best is for us to, when we be delivered, to for God to replace back, for the enemy to replace back what's been stolen from us.
Yes, sir.
Exodus chapter 3, verse 21. And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass, chapter 3, verse 21. Thank you, Brother Jeff. I heard you. Clear. And I'll give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty handed. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 105. This is exactly what took place. Psalms 105, verse 37 and verse 38. When Israel came out of Egypt by the hand of the Lord, they just wasn't set free. 400 years of bondage with Egypt, that would seem it'd be enough. And most of us would settle with that freedom. But see, God can't settle with just that. He said, you'll not go out of there empty handed. Psalm 105 verse 37, He brought them forth. Also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes.
Hallelujah.
Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. See, God's best. And this messes your mind. It's really, if you don't have a revelation, see, you've got to have a revelation of God. Because it don't hook up to you. To religious thinking. That when God sets you free, of your enemies. He just doesn't want you to be free of your enemies. He wants your enemies to pay you back for what's been stolen from your life. Now that's something new to us. Because most of us, all we do is moan and groan about the devil, and if he's not messing with us, we're happy. But here's another step. Now you can get back some things that have been taken from you. Most people say, if you just leave me alone, that's enough. But that's not God's best for your life. How many of you want God's best for your life? See, we're living in a season of God's best. See, this is what's so exciting to me. I think you're getting it with the testimonies. I think you're really, really seeing. Many of you are really seeing that actually God's involved in what we're doing this year. That he's actually doing supernatural. Some people, I heard a testimony that somebody's garden had produced early this year. Normally it don't produce this early. And they go on vacation, they come back, and all their crops, you know, the grass has grown over and took over their tomatoes and everything. But for some reason, their garden has already been producing. Some reason. It's breakthrough year. See, they ought to be crazy. I call crazy, but weird, unnatural wonders taking place. And you'll be surprised. Most of us have things that are wonders. We just not see it. We don't recognize them. We don't recognize it. Somebody walks up and say, "Man, you look." You look so healthy. Well, we don't even recognize God's doing something in our bodies.
Amen.
Sometimes. Amen.
Glory.
So God is doing these things. He's doing them right now. This is the season of supernatural breakthrough.
Hallelujah.
Over and above.
Yes.
Not just enough. Say, not just enough.
Not just enough.
Most people are, again, I just want to talk to you. Talk to you in your spirit. Most people sitting here tonight would just be thankful if God would let them pay their bills on time.
Yes.
Right.
Well, that's always the first level. Yeah. Enough. There's not enough. Enough. More than enough.
And
thank God for the level of enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
That you can pay your light bill. Don't get cut off. Amen?
Amen.
But that's not the finished level of God. God always wants us to have more than. And he sent them forth with silver and gold.
Hallelujah.
And not a feeble one was among them. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 6. I always get excited when I really look at what God did for Israel. Because God called Israel his servants. Exodus. Why keep saying it? Exodus. Genesis, Exodus.
Hallelujah.
I might need to start studying Ezekiel. But right now, we're on Exodus. Genesis, Exodus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Verse 6. Is this right? Wherefore?
Yes, sir.
Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptian, and I will redd you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Every one of us need that kind of work in our life tonight. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 6 verse 30 Amplified says this. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is hungry. But if he be found out, he must restore 7 times what he stole.
Yeah.
He must give the whole substance of his house if necessary to meet his fine. See, we ought to have this kind of thinking. You heard me say it last week. Devil, I'm too expensive for you to mess with.
Amen.
That's a whole different mindset. Devil, if you mess with me, you got to pay me back sevenfold.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Some people here be rich overnight, wouldn't they? But a lot of us gave the devil stuff. We won't never get back. But there are times when you're doing right. When you're doing right. And your mind is right and you're doing right. But all of a sudden, here comes something messing up. Think about it. All them houses. Were you living right when you try and sell houses, Jerry? Some of the houses that got kind of took away from you by the hand of the enemy. By no means of your own. My goodness. What if you had all that money from them thing? Would you tithe on it? All right. You better.
Hallelujah.
You see, you get what you expect. Your expectation is of the Lord. You get, if we don't know about these things, faith is based on the known will of God. Faith is based on what you know God is saying, and you know what God desires of your life, you can have faith for.
Amen. That's good.
And since we never really understand the hand of the Lord, we couldn't really, the devil still, we just cry and we go on about our business and say, thank God, we'll make it, we'll get over it. But there's a level as we study this and really get into this, and you're going to see it more and more as we study it. You're going to see how God really gets involved when the enemy steals from us. And how his desire is when he steals from you is if you catch him, if you're doing right and you don't get off in anger and resentment and doing what's right, you can catch that devil.
Catch
it. And when you catch that devil,
yes, sir,
he has to pay back sevenfold what he took.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 13, verse 3. Devil, I'm getting too expensive from you. I mean, too expensive for you to mess with me. You better leave me alone. Go on down and see the next door neighbor. No, I wouldn't tell him that. Hallelujah. That'd be the first time in all the years I'm preaching I had to sneeze while I'm preaching. 30 years I've never sneezed while I'm preaching. I almost did it, but the Lord hand helped me. That wouldn't mean nothing to somebody, but it does to me.
Yes, sir.
So you sneeze with a microphone on, you'll know it. You'll say, don't do that again. Hallelujah. So y'all going to watch me now and see if I'm going to ever sneeze. I never sneezed in 30. I never had to quit preaching and go use the restroom in 30 years.
Come on.
Some people have to get up every 30 minutes. I'm not preaching on that. But anyway, the hand of the Lord. That's another subject. Exodus chapter 13. That what it said, verse 3. And Moses said unto the people, listen at this. Listen. Pay attention.
Yes.
And Moses said unto the people, remember this day, in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of the bondage, for by the strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. God said, I don't want you to ever forget that I brought you out of Egypt by the strength of my hand. I have brought you out. Now, if God wants him to remember that, don't you think God wants us to know about it? The hand of the Lord? He said, don't ever forget it. You're supposed to tell your sons and daughters, and then we get in and about it, but don't ever forget this one thing, that I brought you out by my hand.
Hallelujah.
Turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse 9. You're already there. And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand,
yes,
and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand had the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Now, here's God just over and over and over telling his people how he brought them out. Notice, he doesn't say, I sent my servant Moses to bring you out. And when we think about children of Israel coming out of Egypt, what is the first thing you think about? Moses. And that's not a terrible thing. That's not going to send you to hell. That's not going to keep you out of heaven. But the Lord said, the first thing I want you to think about when you think about being delivered from Egypt is not Moses.
That's right.
But my hand. So it seems like, to me, God's trying to get something over to his children.
Amen.
He said, remember it. Now he says, make a memorial. Camp out.
Yeah.
Always remember how God brought you out.
Right.
Well, God, I was sitting in the service and singing was beautiful and preaching was good and God delivered me. That's a great testimony.
Yes.
But see, God would require us to mention God delivered me with his hand.
Yeah.
Well, I know, you know, it's going to take a while because we've never thought that way. How the hand of God has been involved in our life, even in this covenant that we have. And that's why I'm telling you, people, you hear charismatic people tell you all the time, don't seek the hand of God, seek his faith. Hand meaning material things. Faith meaning seek God, and then all these things will be added unto you. And see, therefore, we're telling all the people of God, not just, but number one, we don't really understand the hand of God. But God says, I want all my people to know about my hand. If you're going to remember anything about me delivering you, God said to Egypt, remember this one thing that I brought you out with my hand.
Amen.
That's what the Lord did for me, July the 4th, soon to be. 29 years ago, July the 4th, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I poured that gasoline on that fire. It should have burned up. Should be dead. God's hand reached down. See, one of my precious songs I used to sing, it's God's reach further down than I could reach up. His hand reached down.
Amen.
Instead of me dying, I began to live. So that's the hand of the Lord. But, you know, it'd be uncommon for us to give a testimony and all in the middle of testimony we'd say, and the hand of the Lord did this. People say, what are you talking about? But that's what God does. When he delivers you by his hand.
Amen.
We usually relate to the song we got delivered by or the preacher we got delivered by. And that's wonderful. But this revelation shows you how you really got delivered was by the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
Anybody ever had your daddy's hand to touch you?
Yes.
A good way, not a bad way. I've had that too, you know, right across your hiney. But when daddy reached down, you're going across a riverbank or something, when the father's hand reached down and took you by, there was so much comfort in that hand. I mean, fear left you. Anybody remember those? It's hard when you're grown. But I remember the days my daddy, you know, take your hand. There was confidence that you wasn't going to fall in the water. Peace came on you. The hand of the Father. Same way with the hand of the Lord brings peace to you. Exodus chapter, look at verse 14, same chapter. Over and over, God wants to get across to Moses and the people that they should focus on the hand of the Lord. Verse 14, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage."
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Not Moses, but the hand of the Lord.
Glory.
Go over to Exodus chapter 15. Now here it's Moses. He finally gets a hold of it. And Moses says this back to God. Exodus 15 verse 6. Oh, glory. Look at this. "Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power.
Yes.
Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy."
Yeah.
Took a while for Moses to get a hold of it, but now Moses is talking about the God. "Now, God, I see what you're talking about. It was your hand that dashed on my enemies." Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11, verse 23. Moses is faced with another impossible task, it seemed like. But look what Moses and God get together. Numbers chapter 11, verse 23. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." God says to Moses, "Moses," he's facing some tough decisions again. God says, "Moses, do you think my hand now is short?" Every time Moses faced what seemed an impossible task, God brought up his hand. The Amplified said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Had the Lord's hand, his ability and power become short and inadequate?" Look at Psalms chapter 78. All of us here, when we need the hand of the Lord to be involved in our everyday life. And we're going to learn how to pray that, believe that, speak that.
Yes,
so you don't have to beg for anything that God is doing or has done.
Yes.
Many of our prayers, we read the scripture talking about praying in the mist. Many of our prayers are not lined up in faith because we're asking God to do something, to show up somewhere He already is, to do something for us He's already done, and which negates our faith. And as you learn about the hand of the Lord, you'll be able to declare the hand of the Lord. You're going to find out how to do that by the end of this study. How you get involved with the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
It's a great revelation. And I want you preachers to help me with it. Study it. Go up the mountain in a different way. Say some things that I don't say about it. So we understand the hand in of the Lord and our breakthrough. I'm telling you, it's going to be important in the days in which we live. Because many of us, I'm not going to pinpoint us, but possibly many of us will need the supernatural hand of God in our life.
Yes.
To sustain us in the coming days.
Yes.
I'm not a doom and gloom preacher. I know what the Bible says. The Bible says when things get tough and perilous times comes and all these things for us to look up, our redemption draweth nigh. But we live in a real world. Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith." The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. I mean, this is not a ski trip we're on. This is not somewhere we're just on vacation. This is really good against bad, light against darkness. And as the world continues, darkness gets more. Demons get more demons. Devils get more big. I'm telling you, the devil used to hide a little bit, but he shows himself real strong today.
Amen.
I mean, you better know who your next door neighbor is. You better know who God is, because you're going to need God's hand in the coming days.
Amen.
To secure you.
Yes.
In the midst of the storm.
Yes. Come on.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And I always remember, you hear me saying this, God's not a genie that you just rub and he pops up and he does all these nice things for you. God works by faith. God moves by faith. Psalm 78. That's what I said. This is the words of David. David jumps on this hand of God. Verse 41. David said, talking about Israel, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." Now here's an eye open. Look at how did they limit the Holy One of Israel? Verse 42. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from their enemy. My goodness, the very thing God told them not to forget, they forgot. And it limited God. Oh my. How many times? Now here's the thing about it. See, here's the thing about it. Hosea says, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." See, God's merciful, wonderful, kind, but he don't overlook the lack of knowledge. He said, "My people are destroyed because they just didn't know." So if we just didn't know about the hand of God, it's no excuse. We have limited the Lord in our life. Thank God he's done wonderful things. Thank God for his mercy. I say this often. Most people have lived a life. See, God's so merciful, we don't understand. Sometimes we negate faith. We get faith and mercy and favor all mixed up. And we think we're giants, and now God done something, we're going to run out here and try to use the same kind of what we thought was faith. How many of you know we fall to our face down, you know, we get knocked out? Because it wasn't faith in the first place. It was mercy, favor of God.
Amen.
But how many times have we limited the Lord because we didn't understand the hand part? And we gave glory and praise more for how we got there than how we got out. And it was by the hand of the Lord.
Amen.
So we don't want to limit the Lord anymore, do we? We're doing pretty good, but I don't want to limit him. I mean, I'm going to blow your mind, but this may make some of you say, "Oh, Pastor Mike, I'd like to be a millionaire preacher. My name ain't Dollar, but I'd like to have enough money to do some things, help people, and I need the Lord to help me in it. And I don't want to limit him." See, I'm not afraid to say that because you love me, and you know if I had it, you'd get some of it, wouldn't you? Most of you would. You stuck around with me, we go first class, don't we? See. To this day, I don't know where my paycheck goes. I don't know how much money I make. You may think I'm crazy. I don't even get my... I ain't seen my check so long, I wouldn't know if I had one. Because money is no big thing to me. You ask me how much I make, I don't know. You ask me how much my light bill is, I don't know. That's horrible, ain't it? I don't get tithing, that's pennies blood. Penny lets me preach and she pays the bills. It works better for us that way. But I'm shooting for the gold, man. I'm shooting for God's best in my life. I'm shooting for the best so I leave inheritance to my... I got grandkids now. I got some grandkids. And I want to leave inheritance to my children's children. I want to be a blessed man. A good man leaves inheritance to his children. If you want to be a millionaire and a billionaire, you're going to need the hand of God. You want to be a billionaire, trillionaire, zillionaire, whatever's up there, you're going to need the hand of the Lord. It gets involved in your life. Because if you go through the Bible and see what happened when the hand of the Lord got on somebody, woo-wee.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Right now, glory to God.
Joseph, when it talks about the Lord was with Joseph, actually the Lord's hand was on Joseph. And when the hand was on Joseph, he went from the dungeon to the palace.
That's right.
And everything he touched was blessed.
That's right. Hallelujah.
The hand of the Lord. Say the hand of the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 45. Ain't that beautiful? Isaiah chapter 45 verse 11. Now here. This is part of the hand of the Lord. I'm going to give you some revelation here. You better bolt down to the chair for a little bit on this one, okay? I'm not going to talk any religious mindset right here. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker. This is God. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hand. Command ye me. Now this is God saying, command ye me. Now, I actually have not a problem, but that's a biggie. That's a biggie when you talk about commanding God. But God is inviting us to do this. He said, command ye me. He is inviting us to command the work of His hands. But look what the Strong Concordance says command means. It means to appoint or assign to. Appoint or assign or commission. So when we talk about commanding, when the Lord's inviting us to command ye Him, He's talking about give Him an assignment. Give Him something to do in your life. He wants to get involved in your life. He wants to give you give Him. James 4 verse 2 and 3 says, you don't turn that. It says, because you ask not, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. God is not going to do anything until you give Him an assignment.
Hallelujah.
Now one thing Bethany learned in my little Bethany many, many years ago. She's 4 or 5 years old at Rhema. They taught them how to pray according to the Word. So you can pray and your prayers be amiss. That means they don't get any further than the ceiling. You may feel like they've gone to the throne room, but they've never went anywhere because you didn't pray according to the will of God. That's the whole step that most people don't know in praying. They're always asking. They're always asking God. But little Bethany learned early in her life to put God on assignment. She would say, Lord, I thank You that You watch over me. Thankful assignment. Lord, I thank You. I used to hear them. I was in Tulsa, little kids. We didn't have any money. I'd hear him praying for a prize. Lord, I thank You for a prize.
Hallelujah.
And I can tell you, with my wife sitting here, something would show up in the mail from Georgia. Grandma or somebody or Papa would send some prize money.
Hallelujah.
They're putting God on assignment. You hear what I'm saying? Command ye me. That's what it's talking about. Just don't ask God, plead, moan, and groan. Thank you, Lord, that you meet all my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's assignment. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes you have healed me. So I speak to every nerve, every bone, every cell, every fiber of my body. And I thank you, Lord, it works in perfection. You created it. And I forbid any malfunctions in my body in the name of Jesus. Thank you for my health, my healing, my deliverance. Put him on assignment. Get him involved in your life. But most of our prayers, religious prayers, are, Lord, will you? Can you? Please? Please? Now we're going to go over this to get you in a frame of mind where you can see the hand of God. You know how to, you can release the hand of God in your life. Put him in assignment in your life.
Hallelujah.
See, most people say, the Lord knows what I'm need of. Well, the Scripture says he does, but he wants you to put him on assignment. That's why when I every week about money, I tell the Lord concerning his church how much money we need in the budget every week. Every day, I say my confession, Lord, I decree and declare that we have $8,000 a week in our budget to meet every bill and more than meet every bill.
Yes.
I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I put him on assignment. I thank him every day. Every seat in this building is full in every service.
Yes. Amen.
I thank him every day for it.
Thank you.
I tell him. I put him on assignment. Then I tell the devil to take his hands off the finances and off the people.
Yes.
Let them go. Loose them. Let them go. And I send forth the ministry spirits and angels of God in all parts of the earth. Bring in the resources and the people.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Then I thank God. And give him praise for it. I put him on assignment. Whole different ball game when you get God involved in your life on assignments.
Amen.
He invites us to do that.
Right.
What do you mean? You bossing God? No, he just told me to do that.
Right.
That's what he said.
Yes, sir.
God is inviting us to get involved with his hand. In our life. That's what the early church did. They prayed and said, Lord, stretch out your hand.
Yes.
That your servants will have boldness.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Getting God involved in their life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God wants us to. He wants us to remind him of his word. He sent his word and healed us and delivered us from all our diseases.
Yep.
Now, there's sometimes I know when my children need things. I'm a parent. But there are a lot of times I don't know. And a lot of times when they asked, because I'm Daddy, El Shaddai, El Shaddad, I'll help them because they asked.
Amen.
I get involved.
Yes. Amen.
And sometimes we sit around like God can just jump in, jump out when he wants to. When God wants us to invite him to get involved. Put him on assignment. What do you believe in God for? What do you want him to do in your breakthrough? Are you still asking for a breakthrough? Put him on assignment. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you need. He's not afraid of what you need.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Some people, they need $1,000 a week. They'll ask God for $500. Just go ahead. Put him on assignment to bring in $1,000. Is that like we're scared to tell the truth to God? What do you need?
Hallelujah.
Shoot for the best.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
And I've had to have to learn that in my life. I mean, I fix stuff so much and rig stuff so much in my life. I told you one time I fixed my partial. I soldered them back together. Wonder solder didn't kill me. Put a safety pin and bent it and stuck it in there. It was about 3 months that safety pin was so rusted. I thought, that's probably not good for me. I mean, 434,000 miles on a BMW. I patched that thing, taped that thing, soldered that thing. I mean, just, it's a way of life. That's all I believe for. Until I begin to believe, you know, my car gets that old. Just get another car.
Amen.
Right? Shoot for the goal.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
You know, put, this is what I did. I got me a magazine and put the BMW I wanted on got it out of the magazine. I said, that's what I want.
Yes.
Taped it on my filing cabinet. Lee could tell you it was taped on there 6 years. I'm driving the exact car.
Yes, sir.
Same color that was on that magazine cover, sitting right out there in the parking lot.
Amen.
Didn't cost me a dime.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory.
But I looked at it every day. I sent forth the ministering angels to get it, to bring it in.
Yes.
Couldn't afford it. At that time, brand new, it was $70,000. $70,000. My wife would not let me, I'm telling you. Even if I had $100,000, $200,000, it'd be hard for her to let me pay $70,000 for a car. But the Lord sent it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He went on assignment.
Yes.
Found it. Brought it.
Glory, glory.
See, the Lord wants to get involved in our life. The hand of the Lord is not short.
Amen.
He said to Moses, now, Moses, you're facing the impossibility. Moses shaking in his shoes. And the Lord says to Moses, now Moses, now you think my hand's short, don't you? No, it ain't short. He'd meet all your needs.
Amen.
And a lot of your wants.
Hallelujah.
Well, there'll come a day, I prophesy to you. Of course, your husband thinks different than you. He's thinking retirements, which every man does. One day you'll have to push them lawnmowers. But there'll come a day, that ain't going to be no concern to you. If you can't fix them, just go get another one. The money will be there.
Amen.
Okay. Money will be there. I'm not saying be unwise. Fix it if you can. But patching up. I know how it is. We run churches that way for 30 years, but we don't patch nothing up around here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes it goes slow. I want to do it today. I want to get it done today. It's a lot of things I want to do that we got to wait. Till the Lord gets involved. Send him out on assignment.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So expect God to get involved in everything you do. Shoot for the goal.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Shoot for the goal. Don't patch it up no more. Shoot for the goal. Put him on assignment. Some of you need some things. Tonight, he's ready.
Hallelujah.
Put him on assignment before you go to bed. Now, God,
yeah.
I've cried about this thing enough. I've petitioned you enough. This is what I want you to do for me in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
I need this bill paid off by the end of the month. I need such much for all my light bills.
Yes.
This car's is about had it. I need a set of tires. I need thank him for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it. This is what I need. This is what I need, Lord. Get him involved and watch what God will do as you put forth your faith. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Let's stand. Get your hand involved in that barbecue down there.
Amen. Man, his hand will be a part.
Don't tell them how many millionaires are sitting in this church.